podcast is brought to you by Pens. Whether you're writing a letter, filling in a Sudoku, or simply drawing a cartoon set of genitals onto David Cameron's head on the front of the Metro newspaper, you need a pen. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today. Simply walk into any stationery shop, take a pen off the shelf, go to the counter, give them the offer code Rob Rouse Podcast, and just see what happens. Hey, dear listener, thank you so much for downloading episode one. It's my first ever podcast, and we've got a great guest. We are kicking off in rip-roaring style with the truly brilliant musician and songwriter Gaz Coombs. You'll probably know him from Supergrass, and more recently, over the last 3 years or so, he's really firmly established himself as a brilliant solo artist, releasing two fantastic records. His latest one, Matador's, just been nominated for the Mercury Music Prize, and he agreed to come over and cut my hair while we chatted in the garage. He's a really charming, funny, warm person, and we had a chicken dinner, and he also did an impromptu live performance at the end of the show in the garage. It was just a great day, and we had a fantastic time. So I'm going to keep this short at the top so we can get into the chat. All I'm going to ask you is please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so it kind of plops into your inbox each week-ish. And you can get in touch as well with me by emailing me at podcast@robrouse.com. or at Rob Rouse on Twitter. Really importantly, go and see Gaz live. He's on the road right now through November and into December, and all his dates are at gazcoombs.com. Here we go. Oh, just before we go into it, should mention there's a couple of swears, and also I think I burped once, maybe twice. That was to do with the chicken, but they were involuntary, but I left them in because we were talking at the time about how mistakes and rough edges kind of give things a vibe and an atmosphere, and you don't really want to tinker with them, so I couldn't really cut them out. So that's why there's a couple of burps in there. So here it is, episode number one, Gaz Coombs cuts Rob's hair.
Here's my podcast, I made it for you. Whoever you are, you can listen on the train or taking a bath.
Good, right, I think...
Hey, are these my tools, yeah?
Those are your tools there, I think we're all set up. So there we go, right.
So if you'd just like to take a seat, you know, what are we going to go for today?
Well, what would you suggest? I mean, if I'm honest, Gaz,
listen, you've got a lot of hair here.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of hair.
I'm just going to put this around you.
Okay,
here.
Just for the listeners, Gaz, you just put your towel up my shoulders.
Are you comfortable?
I'm very comfortable. This is, you seem like you know exactly what you're doing.
No, it's fine. So, you've been anywhere nice this year?
I had 3.5 weeks off in the summer.
Yeah.
With my family, we went.
Fantastic.
We're in the caravan.
Lovely.
Which was really nice.
I love the caravan.
The caravan was great, and it's very intimate. It's just also dawned on me as well, actually. Another grown man cutting another grown man's hair is a bit more intimate than I thought it would be.
Yeah. How do you feel about this?
I'm comfy. Are you all right with it?
Yeah. I'm just gonna you know, do what I do best.
Yeah,
which is, you know, give you a style that you'll never forget.
Awesome. I mean, we're both in show business, aren't we? So, mm-hmm. You know, we're used to a degree of maybe a higher degree of intimacy than maybe other chaps.
Yeah, you know? True.
So you're just going for it. You're just going to start cutting.
I mean, actually, I haven't asked you what you want.
I don't mind. We haven't really planned this at all. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, what would you suggest? Is it better if I'm this way around? Is that easier?
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
I'm just aware that I want to make sure we pick up your voice.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
come around here.
I know there's a lot of furniture to get out of the way at the start of this, but do you technically, do you think this is the first one I've done? The mic setup is adequate.
I think the placement's perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I think it should get a nice bit of stereo imaging.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hang on. Yeah. That sounds good.
Hear that? I can hear it because, yeah. Of course, because you've recorded two of your own albums,
that's right, yeah.
Yourself,
mm-hmm.
In your home studio.
I have, yeah.
I imagine probably a slightly more technical setup.
Would
than
you know? It's funny you say that. It's not really. It's
really?
Not really. I like the sort of the approach of just sort of setting up.
Yeah.
you know, whether it's on piano or acoustic or any instrument that's at hand, and kind of chucking a mic in front of it really without much thought.
Right, okay.
You know, but I think it's just got to be good stuff, a good mic that you just throw up. But it,
yeah,
you know, the whole kind of measuring, you know, distances and you know, on drums and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never really been. It's never particularly grabbed me.
You don't.
I did this amazing session with Nigel Godrich a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And, with Danny Goffey, we did a Hot Rats record with with Nigel Godrich in London, and I learned a lot from that session because he was, you know, he was just basically, you know, I was sort of doing a vocal take, and then I play some piano in between the vocals, and
yeah,
and the vocal mic that picked up all the piano sounded amazing, and he was kind of like, yeah, just leave it there, piano sounds great.
Right.
You know, without sort of doing anything particularly. So
like letting happy accidents occur.
I think so, yeah, that's the way I like to work. And then, you know, it's all about the performance, really, rather than if it's mic'd up.
And I think it's probably very similar with cutting hair, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I've cut both my daughter's hair recently.
That's good. That gives me confidence.
Yeah, but it was, you know, they were quite drastic cuts. They both had really long hair.
Okay.
So I just... I kind of cut a lot of hair off.
Right.
But weirdly, I sort of found that kind of easier.
Okay. Because,
you've got a great style at the moment.
Thank you.
And I'm a bit nervous about finessing what is already
right
a good looking.
Well, to be fair,
style.
I mean, you're very complimentary. My my dear lady wife doesn't think it's such a great style. she often says it looks rather strange and directionless. I've never been one of those folks who knows what he's doing with his hair at any one point.
Yeah, no, it's...
I'm going to leave myself open to your interpretation.
Okay.
Whether you see a trim...
Well, already I can see some wings developing here. You've got some serious wings at the side.
Some flyaway bits.
So we could address the flyaway wings.
Do you think we should maybe take a picture of it before and after?
Sure.
That's worth doing. I'll just get the old camera up and... if I do it in a selfie style, because I think I'm also aware that people might not think you're actually doing this.
Well, it's all happening.
Should we do one of those? There we go. So there we are. But you can see, quite clearly. We'll put these up with it. That there's a lot of wingage going on there that we need to do.
Ah,
hello.
This is my two sugars, was it?
Yeah, thank you.
There we go. This is my wife, Helen.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, my love. Cheers.
Cheers.
Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners, Helen?
not particularly.
Not particularly. Well, if you think of anything, you're very welcome. I think what did strike me was you didn't need. You pretty much jumped very. You know, you took the bait very quickly when I suggested, "Would you like to come and cut my hair?" You didn't hesitate. You went, "Yes."
Well, you know, I'm just high on confidence at the moment, I think.
That's a good thing.
From the my two daughters, you know. I'd say successful haircuts.
So you're coming off the back of two really successful haircuts.
Yes, I am sort of concerned that I might be a female hairdresser. I'm not actually personally a female hairdresser, but I might only be able to cut female hair.
Right.
That did cross my mind.
Okay.
But I'm just going to treat this like... basically, I'm going to treat you like you're one of my daughters.
Okay.
And psychologically, I feel kind of comfortable and...
That sounds relaxed. Fine. Yeah. Now, do you need me to wet it first, or do you like to work dry?
Do some sort of brush or... Hang on a second. I've got a little brush.
Alright, I'll fill in, that's fine. Cass has just gone to collect a brush, so he's obviously come prepared, which again kind of raises my confidence levels in what's happening here.
So let me just give it a bit of a brush.
Yeah, okay. Great. Do you need any water? Do you need like a cup of water?
I don't think so. I think we should be alright.
Okay.
I can dry cut, you know, I mean,
great, however you want to go. I have utmost confidence in you.
Good, good, great. I'm glad.
So where are you? Where are you at the moment?
What am I up to?
What are you up to? Obviously, apart from cutting my hair.
I'm. You know, I've had a busy summer.
Yeah.
You know, festivals and the whole festival sort of season. So that kind of ended up with a great performance at Glastonbury and some really really cool festivals over the summer and. I've got a few more gigs coming up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of in writing mode at the moment, just sort of starting writing on the new album. So
great.
Yeah, in between shows, I'm sort of back in the studio,
tinkering away.
Great, and you've got some big shows coming up next week.
Yeah, I've got to, some of the biggest shows I've done, really, in since I've sort of done music on my own.
Yeah.
So, Forum in London and the Academy in Manchester.
Fantastic.
And over to Paris.
Wow.
Great. It's all go at the moment, you know. But I'm really looking forward to kind of starting work on the next album.
You are genuinely cutting my hair. This is great.
All right. Okay. Gosh, you've got very wavy hair, Rob.
It's very wavy hair.
Very wavy.
Yeah, that is the bugbear of it. As it gets longer, it gets wavier.
Yeah.
And then I have days where I think I can understand where the waves are going and what it's trying to do, and other days where it's just completely uncontrollable.
You just think, who am I?
Yeah, who am I?
You look at yourself in the mirror and you just think, what is this?
Yeah. And I always think of that Bruce Springsteen lyric in Dancing in the Dark. Want to change my clothes, my hair, my face!
Yeah. And here we are. That was the inspiration.
You know, it's always there at the back of my mind.
You see, you've got a lot of weight on top here, Rob.
Yeah.
A lot of weight on top, but I'm just clearing these... I'm clearing these ends.
Some of these upper tresses.
You've got some messy ends here that I'm just going to try and get the better of.
I don't know whether I should have my shirt on or off. Is that a boundary we shouldn't cross?
How much more intimate you want to make this experience?
Well, you're right. I've got my bottoms off, so that's it's probably enough, isn't it, for now?
Boxer shorts is probably plenty for now. But if you feel like you want to...
Sorry that they have perished slightly, these boxer shorts.
It's okay. If you want to relax a bit more and, it's just me. It's just me and you in here.
Yeah, just me and you in the garage.
Yeah. And a pair of scissors.
Your fingers dance across the hair with a real sense of freedom and ease.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to sort of get a lay of the land here.
Mm.
Literally, land is like a landmass of hair that I'm just navigating through.
Yeah,
and I think it's feeling good. You see, I think that you could have a few little layers at the top here to kind of create, you know.
I'm excited. Go for it. Let's do this.
I wouldn't say sort of messy, but layered feeling.
Well, the only haircut I've had of recent years was about 3 years ago. I got short back and sides at a proper barber's.
Yeah.
And
it's good to get a short back and sides sometimes, isn't it?
It is good. Yeah, and I went for that kind of, you know, the. Slightly brill creamed kind of look.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked for me, and I was wearing my glasses again because I was struggling with contact lenses, and then I think one day I wore like a plaid shirt and some blue jeans with the rolled up at the bottoms.
Yeah.
And my wife said I looked a bit like a diesel dyke, and I completely shattered my confidence.
You thought you were looking really great.
I thought I was looking
potentially the new look.
Yeah, I thought if I bumped into Mark Kermode, hey, I might invite that guy in for a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But then, being told I looked a bit like a diesel dyke no offence to any diesel dykes. Yeah. But it shattered my confidence in the look that I thought I had.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've never really kind of had any concept of image. And I wonder whether, as a comedian, that's maybe held me back. Because often they say, you know, iconic entertainers can be told by their profile alone, can't they, in silhouette?
Well, you know, I think you'd probably be surprised. I think you have. You know, I think it's... it doesn't have to be a sort of... a kind of defined silhouette as such, but...
He's the one who looks like a diesel dyke.
He's the one in your silhouette. It would be like these little wings at the side of your head.
Yeah.
The little curls.
Yeah. But I don't want this to be about me and my insecurities too much. But from your point of view, in the music business, have you ever kind of worked on your looks, or are you kind of I don't mean as in having plastic surgery. I mean as in. Or is it a conscious thing, or do you just let things evolve?
I think since the beginning, I mean, looking back at photos of when we were in Supergrass and the rest of the guys, I think it was often about... Do you know what I'm just realising? I realise how hard it is to talk and cut hair.
That's all right.
How do they do it in the salon? When
don't know.
Kind of like,
I don't know, yeah.
Rabbiting on about stuff. But, I think we always had a bit of a throwaway approach to what we were wearing. Some of the pictures that I see of us in the old days, you know...
I used to wear the most bizarre things. You know, I remember finding a pair of yellow flares in a market in Oxford.
Yeah.
And I had these yellow flares on and this weird sort of velvety jacket that was kind of patchwork, different colours, almost like a kind of juggler's jacket.
Brilliant.
You know, and combined with the yellow flares, I kind of looked like a sort of kids' TV presenter. And I don't know, I just sort of think, what was I doing? And but it would often be like that, really. I don't think there was any particular thought to... there was never any uniform,
yeah.
Which I think was quite good. That we didn't go the Hives route necessarily, although I was always a big fan of that sort of sharp kind of...
it made focus. Sense for them,
yeah,
didn't it?
It was really focused sort of approach, but I think for us it was a different sort of rock and roll. It was a kind of, a self sort of depreciating sort of,
mm-hmm.
in a weird way. But yeah, just sort of throwing on whatever's around.
Different times as well back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Very different times.
No, totally, totally. But, it's always important. I mean, before shows now even, me and the boys in the band that I'm with at the moment, we're all sort of, being very girly in front of mirrors, kind of going, what do you think of these? this is my bum a little big in this. But, just that sort of... it's just part of it all, It's part of that... I guess you're sort of putting on a show and I mean... It's a tricky one. I can go on in jeans and T-shirt and I'm fine about it. But equally, if there's something... I find that if there's something else that you've got, like if I've got my hat or a pair of sunnies or something, if it's an outdoor daytime festival, it's a bit of a weird thing psychologically. If you've got something there to kind of... It's not hiding behind anything, but it's just a bit of extra something to give you...
It's a bit of stage dressing.
It's kind of like having a guitar strapped on you. It's like... I've always thought it's like my weapon.
Yeah.
Guitar. And it kind of helps me to sort of be really confident,
Mm.
I think the same with a really cool hat or a great pair of sunnies or something. It's just another little weapon that makes you sort of just lifts your confidence up and... equally when I get home, I'm not going to be wandering around in sunnies and a hat. Well, I should do sometimes, but in general, it's kind of it's something to kind of aid the excitement and the confidence and the sort of the need to sort of do a great show.
Yeah,
it's all part of it.
It's part of the costume, isn't it?
Yeah,
because very different times in the music business when you started.
There was a lot of money flying around the labels and stuff, and labels were signing up young bands and putting a lot into it. And it's really difficult for bands, I think, these days, for new bands, just to sort of feel like they've got that sort of that support, not always financial support.
Mm-hmm.
But, the ability to maybe go and get a flat together, buy some new equipment, those early days of being in a band and kind of getting that confidence level up,
being a gang,
and I think it's hard these days when it's kind of so hard to run the band and you're sort of struggling, and I think it can sort of breed sort of desperate moves, and perhaps moves that you wouldn't have made had there been that sort of security around what you're doing, or even financial security, the early stages of being in a band. So,
It's all about getting the right haircuts now, guys.
And you could just basically be in that gang, without sort of worrying about if you're particularly kind of social media savvy or any of those. I mean, the record companies used to sort of basically do all the promotion, really.
Yeah,
we'd kind of, the biggest promotion we'd do would be sort of going to a club in London or something, or a gig in London and getting packed outside it and then appearing in the NME or something, and that was it. That was our promotion done, just going out for a night and doing our normal thing. But it seems like now there's this sort of there's a huge need for bands to be doing everything 24 hours a day. And
I always wrestle with that, that thing of if you're doing a gig or a show and obviously the promoters want you to tweet about things. But I'm also aware that if the people who vicariously follow you on these things just see you telling you what you're doing all the time, it's a bit boring, isn't it?
It is a tricky one, It's a sort of tricky balance to get. But it's just got to be kind of natural, I think. I mean, that's the way I sort of deal with it. It's just, if I feel like doing something, I do it. If I don't, and I'm doing something else and I'm writing and I'm cut off and I don't feel like,
being particularly sociable, then that's fine, you know. It's,
yeah.
I'm just doing what I'm doing, but yeah, you know, it's an interesting one. It's kind of a totally different climate to when I sort of started out. But it's really exciting, you know. I think it's still really exciting times, you know. I think the fact that you can sort of put music out as and when you want it,
mm.
you know, and sort of direct to fans. It's sort of close to that sort of punk,
yeah.
you know, ethic of the sort of mid late 70s when, you know, people were doing all fanzines and stuff, and
printing
their own sort of 7-inch records and stuff, 7-inch vinyls, and doing a run of 200 and.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of.
There's been a similar thing in comedy with like the Free Fringe up at the festival.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But inevitably, kind of, there's always a kickback from the established industry of, kind of, said, well, this isn't fair because you know, well, it's basically because they can't control it. I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, totally. It's you know, I think there's elements that definitely have still got that sort of punk ethic, and I think you know, I mean, I'm still doing it now, just coming up with 7-inches and. And finding a mate to help with some artwork, and
yeah.
and then, you know, finding a route to sort of cheap manufacturing of the sort of the vinyl, because, you know, there's not loads of money flying around. It's all
yeah.
very, very sort of homemade, and even making my records in the studio.
Mm.
I mean, it's all just done in the basement, and
yeah.
and I'm not, you know, yeah, I guess I'm not sort of paying thousands a day for the
absolutely
top
yeah.
producer in a studio in London, but. No. I mean, that's great in other ways, but
gives you a freedom, doesn't it,
yeah.
to do what you want to do. And
yeah.
it always is worth pointing out that all the while Gaz has been cutting my hair all the time we've been talking.
It's quite. I tell you, it's quite hard to ramble on. And
there's a lot of grey ones up there. There's a lot of grey hairs around the sides as well.
It's distinguished. I like it.
Like a badger.
It's good. I've got a little bit of badgery beard coming through, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. A little bit of whiteness on the chin. It's all right. It's
well,
all
we're allowed that, though, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's all right. The wings are still here, but, you know, I kind of like them as well.
Yep.
What
I'm aware of is if I wash it, it could completely change shape.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a cheap jumper, my hair. If you wash it and dry it off, then it doesn't fit anymore.
I think you know, we're kind of getting somewhere. It's yeah. How are you feeling?
I feel completely confident. I'm just looking at the flow and just.
There's not that much hair at the moment.
You've been trimming, haven't you? You're trimming.
I'm just sort of kind of finding.
Testing
the water.
Absolutely. You just go for it, man.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
It's like the 70s. Just go for it. There's no rules, man.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Cut it, baby.
Turn on. Drop out. Snip it
off, babes.
Yeah. So you've got a bunch of so you've got some big shows coming up and a bunch of solo shows you're doing as well, I believe. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just sort of had a feeling a month or so ago that I just wanted to maybe get out with an acoustic guitar a bit more and you know, maybe even run through some new ideas that I've been doing and also sort of show the Matador album in a slightly different light. And I always like it when I sort of get a feeling that I see someone live and I'm kind of hearing it maybe on acoustic, possibly the way that it was written in the room when they first did it, you know, and that kind
yeah.
of that raw you know, sort of embryonic feeling of a track. And
totally.
I always like hearing that, you know, and seen sort of Neil Young play many times and sometimes with the Crazy Horse and sometimes with you know, just him and an acoustic. And
I saw him play with Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
At the Roskilde Festival on a mate's stag do. It was about, oh God, maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 18 years ago. And it was, I think, without a doubt, the loudest gig I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was outside and you could feel it coming through the ground.
It's insane, isn't it? I mean, I saw them about a year ago and they were kind of running through the set, and then they did this one track. What it was, and it all kind of went a bit weird at the end.
Yeah,
it kind of got a bit messy and sort
right.
of chaotic. And the last chord sort of finished, and he just sort of, it was really charming. He kind of said, "Well, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't." And I just thought, well, that's great. You know, they're sort of just jamming, and they're waiting to see if they get that connection.
That's brilliant.
And it didn't work, but it didn't matter. They just moved on to the next song. And I think someone who's been in it for that long,
Yeah.
To do shows like that and not feel the pressure of having to be perfect.
He's got nothing to prove, isn't he?
I think it's brilliant. You know?
But that's the thing, isn't
it? It's inspiring to do a live show and to sort of think, actually, I remember it was Supergrass, we used to false start a lot of songs. I think Sun It's the Sky was a big one. We always used to false start it.
Just go in the wrong place.
Or Danny would kind of count in and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. And it would be a completely different tempo. And the crowd used to love it when we used to false start. And we'd do it a couple of times. And then so by the third or fourth time, you know, they're really willing us to sort of actually play the song.
Yeah.
And then when you launch into it and it all works, they're all kind of like, wah!
Yeah. Well, you know it's happening then, don't you? You know it's really occurring.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe... Sorry, I burped. Sorry about that. The tea's repeated on me. But when we live in a world where we're kind of increasingly... I don't think I've got any hair in my mouth. Where you know everything is, yeah, things are edited and polished and presented in a certain number of characters, and everything is. It does feel like we're. I mean, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but things are speeding up, and as a result of which, people maybe there's less
attention spans are sort of
so there's
changing as well.
But what people really thrive on, I think that's why podcasts, you know, connect with people, is because people like to kind of get their teeth into stuff. They like to get involved and they like to be let in.
Yeah.
And that's surely one of the great things. That's why people go, that's why live gigs are so cathartic, aren't they, for like the audience and the performers, because you know, you're sharing something, it's real.
Well, exactly, exactly. And it's kind of you know, I don't know, I think you know, it's like sort of any, it's a sort of cyclical thing in terms of, I think there's always going to be a backlash at some point, and whether or not there's going to be, you know, a backlash to this sort of, ultra kind of professional, you know, performances from sort of young new bands, where you're sort of thinking, how and why is it so professional and focused?
Yeah.
And it's like they're ready for an arena on their first album, and you kind of think, where's all the sort of dodgy gigs and the shit B-sides and the making a fool of yourself and making wrong decisions, doing wrong moves, and I don't know, it's a shame that there's not enough space to sort of be able to make a wrong move or to just, you know,
I can't remember,
make a bit of a dodgy record.
I can't remember
sort of lost and left behind, and it's weird.
I can't remember who was that. I was listening to an interview with someone, they were saying that kind of, yeah, you get first album out and then it's a case of just kind of, it never gets bigger than that. Because you've got one record gets really promoted, and then after that, if the numbers don't add up, then someone else fills the gap.
Well, and I've always been very sort of lucky and I guess sort of good decisions in terms of aligning myself with people that I think are sort of in it for the long term. I think, you know, whether it was Parlophone in '95, you know, and you know, they really wanted to see us grow. Really, they
that was good. That the Beatles were on Parlophone, weren't they? Yeah, so that must have been a thrill.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Yeah, really amazing. Just to sort of, you know, the day we signed the deal, you know, we were sort of taking photos of each other on the famous stairs at the EMI building where, you know, the Beatles, you know, the cover of those greatest hits albums.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, just, I think they were our sort of heroes, the Beatles. So to sign to the same label.
That is mad, isn't it?
It was insane, you know. You know, but they were great, you know, Parlophone, I think, well, for sort of, you know, 7-10 years, they were amazing and really sort of stuck by us and wanted to see us grow and weren't pressuring us to sort of make loads of all rights and do another Caught by the Fuzz and you know, it was just sort of like, let's see how these guys grow. And even now, the people that I'm working with, Caroline, this really cool label, Caroline International, they're just a great bunch, you know. They're just really, it's so obvious they're just into music, you know.
Yeah,
they're willing to sort of play the long game, which is really unusual these days to sort of have a label that is happy to play that much, like, you know, I don't know, or like Factory, you know, back in the day, Factory Records, just sort of, you know, it was
he was a one off when he had Anthony Wilson,
sort of, just real kind of, you know, just let's record these bands, release some stuff
and see what happens,
and just see what happens, and you know, but yeah, I like that sort of approach.
Totally, yeah, because I don't want to kind of drag you through things you've talked about maybe ad nauseum before, but certainly you've not been afraid of saying no to stuff.
No.
During your career, and that's, it's a good thing to be able to do, isn't it? Surely it's a,
Yeah.
To hang on to who you are.
Well, no, totally. I think the weird thing is how sort of obvious it seems at the time, the decision that you should make. Normally, you sort of think these things are going to be a lot more of a headache to sort of work out, you know, I don't know, not even sort of ethically, but just sort of whether it's something, an approach that you want your band to take, you know. And it's always been quite easy to sort of go, no, I don't think that seems right.
You're quite good at...
Even if they sort of like dangle gold in front of your face, it's still just sort of like, oh.
What do you do? Do you just think, would I feel comfortable doing that? Would you imagine yourself in that situation, or imagine yourself having made the decision?
Yeah, you kind of imagine it after maybe it's happened, and you think about the alternatives or the alternative way of doing it. I mean, you know, we've had a couple of... I remember having a couple of situations back in the day of sort of almost kind of fast-tracking through the States, whether it was sort of, you know, the Spielberg thing years ago or other opportunities that came up that I think we all felt was just like kind of fast-tracking in the wrong way. Right? I think we wanted to go and tour and get on tour buses and go for 7 weeks and travel around and, you know... I don't know, we didn't feel like
that seems quite teen.
Jumping on a TV show where suddenly millions of Americans would see you.
Times are different then. As teenagers, what was more appealing was getting on the bus, playing really loud, and getting smashed, and going to the next town and doing it,
rather than
going, we could sit in a makeup chair for half an hour every day, then sit in a studio doing some scripted narrative sitcom that probably no one's heart and soul's in, that makes you massive.
Yeah,
and then it could potentially all implode.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you sort of think, I think that was a thought that crossed our minds. How long would that last? You know?
Yeah,
is that going to be like a, you know, 2 years? You make a few million, you get on telly, and then you just got to, I don't know, and then it's over. Or then, you know, you're too old. You know, by the time you're 24, you're a bit old for that kind of that fun, youthful TV show that was planned or whatever.
And then
you just sort of think, where are you left? Where does that leave you? So, I sort of stand by all those decisions that we made. And
great.
I'm glad that we did what we did.
And for the record as well, like you were just going around my ears while you were answering that particular question, which I thought showed a real steady hand.
Holy shit. I think it's going okay.
Don't be afraid to hack into it.
Well, really?
Yeah, go for it. If you think you need to... You know, remove some scaffolding, get it down.
Well, I definitely, definitely kind of getting through it here a little bit.
Are the scissors up to the job? Because the ones we provided for you.
Do you know what, actually? Where are the other ones here? These are good, these little...
So maybe just talk the... Gaz has just put the scissors down on a small snare drum. Keeps it musical.
Yeah.
If you just want to talk the listeners through what you're using now, Gaz.
So these are I don't know what they're called. These are like sort of thinning scissors.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm really showing my expertise, aren't I?
That's all right.
My knowledge.
I imagine Vidal Sassoon doesn't know what they're called either.
They're just these sort of weird things that kind of... You can really chop in, but it doesn't... Yeah, it just sort of pulls little bits of hair away rather than... there you go. That's
good. So it selects...
It's like a sort of, you know, if you've got really thick... hair, it just sort of thins it out a little bit in the right way.
Because I think my hair grows at different rates on different parts of my head. It feels like in this rear right hand corner that I can see you're paying quite a lot of attention to, because a lot grows there, like moss. It grows out heavily from that area.
It does, that's the sort of the wing territory, but I think they're great as well.
And you're working some layers through the top?
Well, I'm trying.
This is great. Ah, Helen!
Do it like a different person. Is it intimate,
Gaz? I mean,
no, what do you think?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of face touching's been happening.
For the listeners, I just stroked Rob's cheek.
Yeah,
as I asked him whether this
slightly longer than I thought he was going to, but it feels okay. It feels good.
Serious eye contact as well. Quite prolonged eye contact as well.
I think you should keep an eye on stuff, Helen.
Right, dinner is ready.
Well,
right.
We'll be in a second. Thank you very much.
You need to make a gravy.
I need to make some gravy. Well, I'll make some gravy. I'd like to point out as well, I don't live in a Victorian marriage where my wife just says, dinner is ready! It's very, you know, some nights she'll cook, some nights I'll cook.
Yeah.
She's veggie, I'm not. Our kids eat fish, but not veg. I cook corn and fish in the same pan, but not meat. I don't. Anyway, let's not get into a row with ourselves about... how that works.
Shit, I might have to wet it actually a bit. I might just so I can see what's going on a bit more.
I'm gonna wet it down.
Yeah, it might be good.
Well, we'll come back after lunch and we'll wet it down.
Look, I thinned. Look, you can see this quite a bit.
Yes, quite a bit of hair on the. Jesus,
I've been thinning it out.
I've been malting.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised because you're meant to lose hair, aren't you, when you have it cut. But to maybe wet it down.
Yeah, I think just so I can sort of see.
I like that because if we wet it down, like with a glass of water.
The weight gone off the top, which is good. That's what I was trying to get off, is a bit of weight.
This is working out so well. I'm really delighted. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll speak to you shortly. So this is Gaz cutting my hair. It's pretty cool, eh? Yeah. And I've got to say, I've had some very good comments about the haircut since. I keep stum. I've been keeping stum about who did it, but needless to say, many people have been impressed by my as-yet-unrevealed celebrity haircut. So in we went and had a chicken dinner, and what a corking chicken dinner it was as well. And I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but my gravy was pretty special. So fueled on chicken, myself, slightly bilious from the extra potatoes and gravy I'd imbibed, we went back into the garage for stage two of the haircut and chat. The chat cut. The hair chat cut thing. Here it is. Gaz cuts the rest of Rob's hair.
When we recorded in Normandy, when we had a place, I used to have a place there with my family, with my brothers, that we used to kind of all share. We recorded Rotorua there, and there was a well outside, like an old well, and we sort of dangled, we kind of fed a one speaker all the way down to the bottom of it, and then a microphone dangled just at the top of it.
Yeah.
And then we fed the guitar through the speaker in the bottom of the well.
Great.
And then it was mic'd up from the top of the well. It's this incredible, natural, really long reverb. Really
what's track's that on?
Well, part of the guitar sound on sort of, you know, Tales of Endurance, and through quite a lot of the tracks, some of the electric guitar sounds and also some of the vocal reverbs. With the
really
the well outside.
So you had you mic'd up speaker, your voice in the well.
Yeah, whatever you
mic listening to it.
Yeah, you just isolate whatever you wanted to come through that speaker, whether it's just a bit of guitar, a bit of vocal, or a snare drum, and then
made your own well reverb.
Yeah, and it was really long as well. It was
amazing.
A decent sort of decent sized reverb. Yeah.
Hairdressing advice, recording tips.
Yeah. If you need any. Any advice with tyre pressures as well, or any kind of vehicle maintenance?
That'd be amazing. So we've taken a break. We've had a chicken dinner.
Yeah. Satisfied.
Satiated by the chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you feeling with the hair?
I feel
just like... Just be brutal.
Okay,
be raw.
We need to wet the hair now.
Okay, you've got to wet the hair.
I did a little bit of dry cutting. Now I need to get a little bit more focused about it.
Okay.
A little bit more... go into a bit more detail, so...
What works best for you? You're the artist. I want to just... You know, give you the opportunity you need to express yourself.
Okay.
So just go wet it in the sink?
Yeah.
The sink
perfect.
In the corner of the garage here.
Perfect, yeah.
If I could just squeeze around some of this junk.
Can you get around there?
I can get to.
Move this big plank of wood.
There's a lot of the insulation part. Trying to build my solar room in the loft.
Yeah.
Which is taking longer than the.
Not to kind of keep him up there or anything.
No.
Just for sort of fun, yeah?
Yeah, he'll be there out of his own, you know, free will.
Oh, good, yeah.
That's the idea. He's not to. Yeah, it's not a storage facility.
No.
It's going to be his bedroom.
Hey, man, that's looking really good.
Is that what you need?
Yeah, that's great.
Is that wet enough? Look, there's a mirror here as well.
Good.
I
can show you. Oh, no, how can I show you the back of your head?
Like, we need another mirror. Yeah. I've got another one here behind this insulation board.
Okay.
And there's one here we can walk over to
work that out.
To buy the tool cupboard.
Yeah. Watch out for the kids' bike.
Oh, my God. I nearly lost a plum coming around the back of that board.
So there we go.
We've got a mirror in here because there was a brief period where my mother-in-law, Jean the Bean, who's definitely going to be a guest on this at some point, she was living in the caravan on the drive.
Legend.
For a couple of weeks. She moved in and my life essentially turned into an Alan Bennett play.
Yeah.
And Jean would come in and out the garage and use the... because there's
the facilities.
The toilet in the garage there and the sink. And she'd have a wash-up in the sink.
Fantastic.
And that was the mirror she left on the sink, which you'd have her ablutions in the morning.
Brilliant.
So there we go. I shan't look at that because...
Fully sorted.
You don't want the person who's having their hair cut looking in the mirror too much, do you?
There we go. It can be distracting for the client.
Yeah. So if you just describe... So where we are in the haircut, we've wet it.
Okay, so listen, I've kind of given it a bit of a trim already. And now, you see already, I can see what's going on a bit more here. I'm going to lay into it.
Yeah, baby.
Let's get my tools out, you know. Okay, so off we go.
Right, here we go. I'm very happy, yeah. Immediately, I'm sensing a higher degree of intensity to the haircutting than we had in the first. It's a game of two halves, this haircut, isn't it?
Just got to... There we go. Just got to remove some of this ungainly growth. Sorry,
that's very tactful. That's very tactful. It's the badgery stuff, isn't it? It's the stuff that grows... Very much to its own tune. You can hear the scissor work there at home, listeners. It really has got very neat scissor fingers. There we go.
Sorry,
I'm
just getting a bit of hair on you there. That's all right. You need to get this towel around the back of you.
There we go. Those little touches you've got in your salon, Gaz. This is essentially a pop-up salon you've created in the garage.
Yeah, I can do this shit anyway. You know, it's as long as I've got a pair of scissors and a willing client. I mean, my kids didn't have much say in it, to be honest. I just told them I was going to cut their hair.
And you just went for it.
Oh, here we go. You see, it's quite long at the back here as well. I just want to give that some...
I am scared that I have been developing something of a mullet.
No, you're right. It's, you know, it's a month or so away from any worrying stage.
Where do you stand on mullets? We're getting into important stuff now.
It depends, really. It's all about the delivery. It's all about the confidence.
Yeah, the intent.
I think much like with any look or any fashion decision, it has to be sort of led by confidence.
It's the attitude, isn't it?
It is. It's more about the attitude, really, rather than what you're wearing as such.
Like a good guitar sound.
Well, exactly. Yeah, or even a good guitar. It's like
one
of the best guitars I've got. A kind of ropey old purchases from Gumtree or something, and suddenly you just find that you've got hold of a winner.
Have you ever bought something on eBay or Gumtree and then had to go and collect it from that person and they've gone, oh shit, it's you?
No, I think maybe I got an old library chair once from up in Birmingham on eBay, and was able to get it, and I think they were sort of aware of music, but I never presume that people would. I never presume.
Well, you never struck me as a presumptuous kind of person. You deal with it all very well.
Well, it's just sort of it's a weird old.
But you are one. You are one of those very recognisable people. People that remember. You know, the sideburns, the chops.
Yeah. Yeah, I lost them a couple of times, sort of. Kind of more accidental.
Or just went a bit high, just when you were trimming.
I did it once, and I kind of basically, the clippers, I just kind of did it too far. And so I had to then, and I kind of pretty much just chopped the one off.
Yeah.
The left hand
one
off.
Balls.
So,
like just by accident.
Yeah. So I had no choice, I had to do the other one.
Yeah.
It would have looked a bit weird if I just had one.
And did you find the skin underneath the sideburns, which would have been surely in situ since you were about 14, 15? Was it like baby soft underneath?
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, it kind of, you know, but it also sort of I kind of seemed to sort of lose my balance, you know, much like a sort of cat's whisker. If you chopped off cat's whiskers, they wouldn't be able to walk.
Yeah, did it have a sit? No, it's true. They use them. It's their sixth sense, isn't it?
So it was a little bit like that. I was just kind of, you know, bumping into things, and
he was literally
kind of lost.
Stumbling around.
My equilibrium was shot to fuck, but. But hey, within a few hours they grew back.
I mean, I don't mean to be because I suppose you have a reputation of being a hairy guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to.
Not really. I'm not really. I haven't got a hairy back.
Right. That's answered my next question. Yeah. Which I thought as I was about to ask, it felt quite unprofessional.
So, guys, do you have a hairy back?
Yeah.
But no, never struggled with that one. I mean, I was going to say thankfully, but I've got nothing against hairy backs.
Yeah. I've always thought it's quite a fine sight seeing a man get out of a swimming pool. With the water kind of beading off his back, off the back hair.
And those shiny curls, tight curls.
Yeah, kind of that Burt Reynolds kind of era, when men were men.
Exactly.
I do find that the current, you know, the grooming trend of removing all hair, I do find that very strange, of just being smooth.
Yeah,
I tried once. I shaved my chest once. I haven't even got a very hairy chest. I don't know why I did it either. It was just, you know,
just got bored.
It's sort of experimentation. It's kind of like childlike experimentation.
And yeah.
I thought, yeah, whatever, I'll give it a go.
With razors?
I thought it might sort of might make me look like Beckham or something. But
yeah.
It really went really red and patchy and itchy.
Ah.
It really shit.
Did you use a wet shave?
Yeah.
You wet shaved your own chest?
And it was really horrible. It's so painful. It just looked shit. And I thought, right, I'm never doing that again.
I had to shave mine once for, I was recording a sketch where I was playing a woman. And I was wearing it like a dress, so I shaved my chest, and it was quite traumatic.
Yeah,
it's quite hard when you get to the nipple area where the hairiness intensifies.
Yeah,
I have to navigate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I found when it grew back, a t-shirt, you know, about when you had about 5 day chest stubble,
yeah,
a t-shirt would adhere to it like like Velcro.
Yeah, you know, that a man's place sort of. Visually, it's kind of more uncertain than it's ever been. It's kind of quite strange. It's like, what, you know, are we supposed to look like?
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it?
Like,
yeah.
For youngins as well, you know, for like teenagers.
Yeah.
It's kind of what, I don't know. I mean.
You can see the fashions, can't you? Because there's a lot of young lads look like Joey Essex at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's weird, isn't it? It seems like, you know, thankfully we've got more feminist debate happening and more kind of outspoken. High-profile women maybe talking out against the oppression of the razor, and encouraging women to be a bit more natural and let it grow back.
Yeah.
At the same time that men are getting less hairy.
Yeah.
So maybe are we entering into an era of smooth men and hairy women?
You never know.
Could be sitting there in the 2050s, you know, with a society of very hairy women and smooth men, smooth oppressed men.
Sorry, just checking the sides here.
No, absolutely, we must at all times.
No, it's fine.
You have been cutting hair.
If I've been quiet for a minute, it's because it's getting to kind of a little bit of an intense.
That's fine.
Place.
If you get some really intense bits, we should just turn the mics right up.
Yeah, and just get some breathing.
Yeah,
and the clipping, the clipping, and the heavy nostril breathing.
Do you know what? Should we just go over to that mic on that side and just do a little bit of cutting close up?
Yeah.
You can hear the intensity of what's happening here.
So I'm just gonna get this.
Okay. You're going around my ears.
Yeah, be careful there.
Oh, you got me! You didn't get me.
Okay.
Hopefully, that's giving our listeners an insight into how intense a process this is.
So, you know, at the moment I've got sort of two cuts, really, because I'm quite new to this. I've done the classic French bob.
Yep.
And the Miley Cyrus.
The pixie so cut.
My oldest daughter's had the Miley Cyrus, and then my youngest one, I did a French bob.
So which one am I getting? I've not seen the mirror for a while.
I mean, you're gonna be left with one of those. You know, I think
kind of a French Miley Cyrus.
I think the Miley might look good on you, actually.
Great. Yeah. Guys is just coming round to the front and looking, trying to establish that there's a balance in the cut on either side of my head.
Well, I'm getting the parting. So I know you may not have a parting, but
I don't usually wear a parting.
No, it's good to sort of see where the hair naturally falls.
Yeah, unless I'm trying to look really smart, like if I'm trying to impress that special woman in my life,
yeah,
I might part my hair so she knows, whoa, it looks like we're going out to dinner tonight.
Yeah. Your intentions are clean and honourable.
Honourable, but I'm ready for romance.
Yeah.
Parted
like
hair.
I'm respecting you.
Yeah.
And I'm clean.
Shirt tucked in.
Clean.
Tie tucked into my belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm clean, I've had a wash.
You've got so many waves, Rob.
There's a lot of waves, isn't there? Yeah. And also, when we're done here, if there's anything I can do kind of in return as a favour, like on a bartering system, if you ever need your hair cut in or a back rub... No, back rubs are probably not quite right, is it? That's
well,
that's not a fair swap.
I mean, we've kind of broken some sort of intimacy barriers down already.
Yeah, we've broken bread on this one.
So, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Hey,
maybe there is something you can do for me.
Yeah. What's that?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the most you've ever paid for a haircut, do you think?
Probably, I don't know. I've went for a little phase of when my girlfriend was going to a place in Oxford, quite a fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go sort of with her you know, we'd sort of sit together and have an haircut. And they were quite sort of posh. Quite sort of posh. But I don't know, it's sort of, I kind of started to realise it doesn't really, I don't know if I really needed that. And you can sort of get what you need, you know, far cheaper. It depends what you're going for, really.
Well,
I just would sort of just get it cut really pretty simply and then just sort of more about what I did styling wise, you know.
Now we're talking.
You know what I mean?
I spent about, there's probably a decade where I cut my own hair.
Yeah, exactly.
I just put my fingers in it and then just chop off what was on the other side of my fingers.
No, well, again, quite a lot of time Jules does cut my hair, you know. I mean, I cut the girls. I mean, I do Jules's as well. You know, we're all quite, it's like sort of self-sufficient.
Yeah, a family that cuts hair together stays together, doesn't it? It's like gorillas, it's basic grooming, isn't it?
Yeah, it works for some reason, so. And actually, you know, not wanting to blow one's own trumpet, but...
Mm-hmm.
Julesy does like my cuts.
Yep.
She sort of normally sort of asks for them before she goes anywhere to get them. And if I'm sort of, you know, not around or if it's tricky to do, then she'll go and get a proper cut. But
so this is a genuine talent you've been you know working on for a while.
Do you know, I don't know what it is.
You've cut hair more times than probably you remember yourself.
Yeah. I just I don't know. I find it quite sort of soothing, actually. It's quite sort of relaxing just to, you know, kind of gradually finesse something and see it changing and see it evolving.
Oh my God, am I becoming like a muse? That would be probably weird.
I don't know what you want to... I don't know how you style it normally.
Yeah, neither do I.
What do you do if you haven't even got a mirror? What's your sort of default? You know, we've all got a
great, this
hand
is, okay, well, I'd probably just scrubble it up.
Yeah.
And then do that, and then probably walk past the mirror and go, "Oh shit, I look a mess."
Actually, you're looking pretty good. Like.
Whoa, I can see a fire in your eyes, Gaz.
Yeah, I mean it's good. You can see that it's that you've had a nice sort of tidy up. Well, I mean, I think so. I don't know if to take it over the years or not. I mean, I think it's nice with a little bit of length there over the years.
Yeah, bit of fluffiness.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any particular products you'd recommend for keeping this style in shape?
Not really, you know. I think a bit of sort of, I think a little bit of sort of wax, but not very much, but just to kind of give the hair separation.
Just to separate itself. The layers, yeah.
And just create a little bit of natural shine.
Because I find, I don't like washing my hair too often.
No, well then you get the natural oils, don't you?
You get the natural oils, yeah. It starts cleaning itself.
Do I sound like I know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you sound very well informed. I believe you. Because they do say the hair cleans itself, doesn't it? That appears to be after quite a long period of it smelling like sick.
Yeah.
Then it starts to really clean itself.
It's like that when you grow a beard. You have to get through the sort of the phase where you look a bit like Noel Edmonds. And then you've got to move through to the proper business.
Edmonds' beard, of course, is now... Last time I watched Deal or No Deal, his beard was darker than his eyebrows.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I got an amazing passport photo where it's just a spitting image of Noel Edmonds. Good period for me. Strong look.
What particularly tipped it over from, you know, into Edmonds territory?
I think it was a length of it was a quite a short length beard.
Yeah,
and some reason
a manicured beard.
Some passport photos where they do an almost kind of a natural sort of bleaching or a natural sort of. Contrast,
yeah,
on the photo.
Overexposed,
sort of a little
it?
Bit heavily contrasted.
Mm.
Some of those passport photos, so it's kind of made the beard look a bit darker than it really was.
It's really hard, isn't it, when you like to get our kids' passport pictures done, trying to get them to not smile. So in my son's one, which I had to redo when he was six, he looks monumentally depressed.
I know, but it's weird. I mean, that happened with Jonesy did some recently that made her look a bit like Myra Hindley. And I was sort of joking with her about it. She got really pissed off with me, though. I sort of took it really badly. And I was like, no, it's... Jonesy, everyone's passport photos are awful. Don't worry about it. It's nothing personal. But,
which is why you look like one of the most notorious female serial killers.
I could maybe see how she might have got a little bit. So, yeah. But,
No, I was sort of saying, you know, you can sort of smile a bit, you know. You can
yeah.
You don't, I mean, like an enigmatic sort of, you don't need to sort of grin like with all teeth.
Yeah, like the Joker.
Teeth glaring, but a little smile.
But you're not meant to, yeah,
but everyone just does that really stern.
My daughter's was done when she was 6 months old, and she's a delightful little girl, but she looks like a plasterer on it. It's like with a gob open and kind of a bald head because she's only 6 months old.
Yeah.
So it's like she's called like Dean, yeah. Plasterer from Walthamstow.
Yeah.
And she's got that till she's five now.
No, you have the baby ones till you're sort of 6, 7 years.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we go through passport control and they'll say, is this really your daughter? And I say, well, sweetheart, just pretend you're giving them an estimate for skimming a roof. Oh, yeah, that's her.
That's her. There we go.
Yeah, cut 100 quid, mate. We'll get that done in the afternoon. That's it. She can come through. So you've got a bunch of... So we've got some big dates coming up in London and Manchester next week.
That's right, yeah, and finishing in Paris on the 10th of October.
Guy Paris.
Yes. And then I've got a few weeks to prepare for some solo gigs where it's just going to be me and a guitar and a few boxes making
but
some weird noises.
You won't be cutting hair at these gigs. Just if you come along to those shows, where can they get their tickets? Have you?
Yeah.
I assume there's a web portal they can go to.
There is on Gaz.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. We might want to lost that. Ronnie, shush. Ronnie, put a sock in it. Ron.
Might be some kind of rabbit.
Yeah, some people have had the temerity to have walked near the gate. And they'll be giving them hell.
He's like, how dare you?
No souls. Sorry, yeah, so...
I think on gascombs.com, I think they can get tickets. And there's also a lot of the... I guess if you follow me on Twitter and stuff, there's always updates about tickets and stuff.
Terrific.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to those solo ones. And a few in December as well, just... you know, just maybe, and in between that, I'll be doing some writing on new material, so I might pop a few little new things in as well, just to sort
great.
Of have a play, really.
Yeah.
I just love sort of, you know, trying things out and also sort of, you know, yeah, reworking a bit of Matador in an acoustic sort of setting.
Fantastic.
It's been really fun, so.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we're looking pretty good here, Rob.
Shit, man.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's. I haven't given you a sort of Mohican or anything, but...
I see, your wife was very much fucked for me, you giving me a Mohican, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She's also having a conversation with my wife about painting our ceilings black.
Radical.
We need to get back in there before they do it.
Yeah.
You'd be sat in there listening to The Cure, or The Mission, or something with the ceiling black.
All right, how's that then?
Let's have a look. Let's do it. Let's get the old mirrors out, and then... Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing we should talk about is back in, you know, what's your hairdresser name?
Well, I mean, it has to be the local hairdresser in the village I grew up in. It was called Ian James.
Ian James, yeah, great. Like two first names.
It is, isn't it?
Great hairdresser's name.
Seems to be a two first name sort of thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a middle name?
Michael.
There we go.
Michael Gareth.
It sounds great.
Yeah, come to Michael.
Where'd you
Gareth.
Get that done? I got it done at Michael Gareth's. Phenomenal. He came to me. In fact, I was
right. So here you go. What do you think?
Are you showing me around? We need two mirrors, yeah. Don't we? The mirror's gone. There's one here. We'll use this one here. Like, I reckon we'll still look at that. Here's the reveal. Look at that, eh?
Can you see?
Yeah, man.
Definitely.
I am delighted. Great. Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's a salon cut. That's like Michael Gareth cut.
It's I can see it's a lot. It's a lot tidier. It's a lot
feels bob on, mate.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you.
Right. Yeah, pleasure.
That is just.
It's been an experience. I'll never forget, Rob.
Creatively, it was a creative moment. That was just a live, first kind of audio haircut. Brilliant. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Lovely.
Thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come and cut my hair.
That's right. It's a pleasure. It really is.
Yeah. Well, if would you like to do a song or anything that...
It'd be a pleasure.
Should go and have a rummage and find...
Have you got a guitar somewhere?
I'll find one that is hopefully in tune and we'll... We'll have a live performance from Gaz Coombs in my garage post haircut in a second. So in we went to go and find a guitar. Now, my guitars are all a bit knackered and a bit old, quite cheap. And I was aware that my guitar had probably never really been played with any degree of proficiency whatsoever. So I was very excited for my guitar to put it into Gaz's hands. And very quickly he tuned it up and we set the mics up and this is what he did. All right, here we go. This is called The Girl Who Fell to Earth. A massive congratulations for your nomination for the Mercury. It's fucking amazing.
I know, it's pretty mad. I was kind of blown away, really. You know, it's pretty blown away. It's great, the Mercury. For me, it's like the real face of music, and it's this cross section of British music. And I'm just honoured to be on that list with all those great artists.
It's really cool, isn't it? It's really brilliant. We're all delighted for you, and I'm not going to lie, guys. It's had massive implications for my haircut.
Oh, you've had your haircut by Mercury-nominated hairstylist.
Yeah.
Gaz Coombs.
And it's huge. I mean, it's up the ante with the booth. It really has. I mean, I got comments straight after the haircut. I want you to know that as well. And that was...
Okay.
And I wasn't even saying to anyone, look, I've had my haircut by Gaz Coombs. People just said, that's a great... Where'd you get your haircut? It's great. And
well, you know, I'm just going to start getting loads of phone calls now, knocks at the door for the local villagers probably going to come round and
I think it's going to be more than local villages, Gaz. It's massive.
Big time, baby.
Yeah, is it? This is a Mercury-nominated haircut I've got.
That's great. See, I can start to sort of link that into so many areas of my life.
Yeah.
You know, Mercury-nominated father, I guess.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I could get some serious mileage out of this one.
Mate, you have to. Absolutely have to. You know those Mercury stickers that you put on all the records?
Yes.
I now have one of those just on my wings on either side of my head. I can have one of those on. You know.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's bona fide for me to wear a sticker, isn't it? Because
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it. You can kind of carry that with you, and you know, until it starts to get a bit shaggy again. Make the most of this cut while you can.
Exactly. Well, I'm a bit nervous now. I'm filming something next week for a friend, and I might have to get a trim because for the part. And if I do get it cut, can I get another haircut from you at some point in the future?
You know, Rob, it would be an honour. You know, it would be my pleasure to trim your wonderful locks.
Oh, no.
Anytime, baby.
Nothing could make me happier. It's great. A Mercury-nominated haircut. It's kind of made my life complete.
Good. It sounds good, man. I'm happy with that one.
So there we go. There's episode one. Hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and whatever mediums you subscribe on. Give it some nice feedback. Get in touch with the show at podcast@robrouse.com or with me on Twitter at Rob Rouse on Twitter. And if you've enjoyed it, please just spread the word, tell your friends, Facebook it, tweet it, all the usual kind of business, and I'll speak to you next time. Cheers!